welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas, believe it or not. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts of the Blind Handyman, Don Patterson.
Hey, Thomas, good to see you.
We're good to have you with us today. Don Shaw.
What's the good word, Mr. Houston?
Dr. Pepper, I guess. I'm Tom Houston.
Dr. Pepper. Is he a special guest?
What is he?
What's the good word, Dr. Pepper? I gave away my age, I guess.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, the creator, ladies and gentlemen, and producer, of course, of the Blind Handyman.
Wait a minute.
Phil Park.
Where's my special intro that the guy did for me?
Oh, I didn't bring it. I did see that, but I caught it at the last minute.
The guy went to all this trouble to do me this little special creator intro, and you didn't. What's his name? His name is Kevin Doucette.
Doucette.
Hope he got those shells built. I'm sick of hearing about him.
Doucette. I never can remember.
One of these days it'll make the show.
Anyway, it will make the show eventually.
Well, I appreciate it. How about you run home and get it? We've got an hour.
But then who would read the email?
That's right. True. That'd be the question.
That's true.
We could...
Well, you could ad lib it.
I guess we could scan it.
Make up
let
to me.
Let Jaws read it.
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Now, what a deal that'd be.
Have we... this is show number 26. Did we decide that?
It is 26, in fact.
Instead of 25.
Yeah.
Which we did last week.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So. I believe it is, yeah.
All right, it was a consensus. Do we have a dissenting vote?
Okay.
Raise your hands. 20, I couldn't see
yay for 26.
Oh, no, nobody asked me about the Ray Price show.
26.
Yeah.
So that was Ray Price. That's the question of the day.
We were waiting on the edge of our chair to ask that question.
It was a great show. I had about 1,500 people at the first show. None. Let me just tell you folks out there in internet land, none of these guys came to the Ray Price show. Not one of them.
Nada.
They all had colds or had to keep the stay home with the baby's mama or something, beer something. To drink or, you know, something more important to do. One of them faked being sick, this guy here, had a little fake sickness. I noticed he's well on Saturday. You saw that. Anyway, it's good. We had about 1,500 people, and I sang a couple songs, and I enjoyed it as much as anything I've ever done in my life.
Well, tell us, oh, great creator, how many albums did you sell?
40.
40 albums.
All right.
That's great.
That's very
40
good.
CDs. Immediately went to Kinder, Louisiana the next day and lost every damn thing.
Yeah, now that can happen. That terribly can happen.
It was just terrible.
Of course, I heard about you being on stage in your Jimmy Swaggart voice when you were selling these albums.
Oh, I did. I told them that every dime they gave me went to help feed hungry blind people right here in Lufkin.
Yeah.
That's what I told them. I don't know if that helped or hurt. But
well, on Blind Weekend, it might help feed a few blind folks.
Let me
folks,
ask you this. Did the judge happen to buy one?
I think he did.
Well, that's
you're
good.
You talking about Judge W?
Yeah, Judge W. Yeah, he.
Your ex-husband-in-law?
Yeah, we're kind of husband-in-laws together or some sort. Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's a long story. If you folks want to know, go to our website. We'll.
Well, yeah, because don't send me any emails.
Speaking, you never check your email, do you?
No, I do not. I don't.
Speaking of websites and lists, Shaw has created a monster. There were 96 messages in my inbox the other day.
Yeah, wow. The list has taken off, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've got
flying now.
We've got almost 100.
Got enough momentum to fly loose here, I think.
Goodness, we get another 100 or so, we'll have enough to open up a blind school or something.
We could.
Something, huh?
Yeah, but it's good. There's a lot of good things being discussed on the list.
Yeah, good discussions coming along, all kind of things.
All sorts of input and lots of people who know a lot of things.
Advanced things, man.
Yeah, stuff we don't know.
Incredible. We'll, lots of discussion.
Well, give us a plug. How do you
well,
do it?
Well, I just make it simple this time. Just if you want to subscribe to the list, just we'll make it easy here and go to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
That's easiest.
That's a blank email. Just send it like that, blank, and
blindhandyman@yahoogroups.com.
That's right.
And that'll get you.
And not that anyone would ever want to, Mr. Shaw, but how do you unsubscribe?
You do the same thing in reverse.
In reverse, okay.
Blind handyman dash unsubscribe, and we've had many unsubscribe this week.
I can't believe
it.
I cannot believe it.
We've unsubscribed you.
Well, no, I had never signed up yet. I was wanting to be. I thought the 100th person would get some kind of tools or something, so I was going to try to.
Oh, they will. Just jump in there and join. Count them and jump in. But you'll have no way of knowing, see?
Yeah, that's
right.
We have the moderator of the list.
We ought to have a tool or an album or something for the 100th. Subscriber, huh? It's probably already too late. We've probably had
we
that.
Could,
I think
we
it's probably already happened.
It probably has.
We probably better.
Hmm? It could have.
Probably hold it's up close. For the thousandth person.
There
we
you
could,
go.
We that could give them one of those little trashy Phil Parr albums, I guess.
Yeah, for the thousandth.
Yes.
Thousandth subscriber.
That'd hold them off. Anyway, we could do that. But if you want to join the list, and it's our my suggestion would be create a rule and a folder so that your email will go to that folder and you won't have it all in your inbox because there's a lot of it.
Yeah, it's lots of discussion.
If you're interested in tools and handyman things, it's the list to be on. But there's a lot of information and a lot of postings and most of them I'd say 90% of them are on topic.
Oh yeah, and if you ever need to refer back to something that's been talked about, you could go to the group page and it's all archived neatly up there on Yahoo's website page there.
And I think on each message it tells you how to go to the group page. I think down
it does at the bottom of each message. Yeah. Tells you how to go to the group page. Where to go to listen to the Blind Handyman show, which I think we've gotten some new listeners by reading the list this week. It sounds like anyway we've
it'd be good.
Had some new listeners.
If you're a new listener to the show, because only you'll know, send us an email.
Yeah,
that is true.
Good idea.
BlindHandyman@hotmail.com. We like those too, and we've got a few. Speaking of emails, Tommy,
how are you, Tommy? Okay, it says, hi, guys. My name is Pete, and you guys have got me blown away. I knew I was not the only blink who was into this stuff. Actually, I do know two other guys, one who's an excellent auto mechanic and another who's a gifted cabinet maker.
Oh, we need both of them.
We do.
Exactly. I guess I am at the advanced level, having solo, completely built, large extensions, and done major structural repairs. I always said I could do anything except paint and sweat pipe, but now I feel that after reading, was it Dale Sauter's copper tube, is this the same guy who just asked for advice lighting candles? Well, bro, I think that your Benzomatic will make short order of lighting your birthday.
I think so.
Anyway, I just want to add that the first thing I take out when starting a project is my boombox. I don't use it just for entertainment, but it is essential to keep my orientation. I can't use my cane when I'm carrying plywood, so I line up a couple of radios along my path to keep me going straight.
Yeah.
My advice is to buy the cheapest one because it's just going to end up smashed or covered with dust. And this came from Pete Mikachik or Mikachik.
That's a good thing because, I think I mentioned all of y'all know we have a baseball field next to my house. It belongs to us. And we've got a backstop set up there and we have a pitching machine and the kids, my nephews and nieces and grandchildren and a lot of the other kids practice. The field is about to get too small for them. They'd be hitting balls out of cars on Southwood Drive.
Oh, yeah.
But it used to, when I wanted to walk around over there, I'd go down the path. I have several paths cut through the woods to get to our baseball field. I would set a big radio on the table there by the end of the path and turn it up real loud, and then I could walk all around the baseball field, and I'd know how to get back to the path and get on.
Back to that point.
Well,
that's
and
right.
Another good project you did that was very blind-friendly was putting the string, the rope, down
side of the trail.
That's
a great idea.
Because I can't, it's like the old racetrack at the blind school used to be. I took some T-posts. If you don't know what a T-post is, it's a fence post that you drive in the ground. It has a triangle on the bottom that goes down in the ground, and you can buy them in 5 foot, 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot lengths. And I buy maybe a 6 foot T-post, drive it in the ground, and put it about every 20 feet, and just string a rope along the path, so that I don't have to pay attention and not run into trees if I'm imbibing.
That's right.
If I can get over on the baseball field and happen to get a little tipsy, have to get back, I can find my way back without blunting, because the tree hurts, boy, at my age, and run into a tree. So, I roped all these paths you go over there, but I'd set a boombox on the thing, and I could go walk around and do whatever I wanted to do over there, just walk around to look at the baseball field, look at the dimensions of it, and I could always hear that boombox and find my way back. So that's a good idea. What was this guy's?
Yeah,
Pete. And it was a real good email, and I'd like to comment. Yeah, we'd love to talk to the cabinet maker for sure.
Oh, man.
And also be interested in the serious and really good auto mechanic because, you know, one time I know through in several states there was some programs whereby blind people were trained and made excellent automatic transmission repair. I think that they've gotten so computerized now. So, and changed the whole way automatic transmissions work, and I'm not sure that's still a viable profession. But anyway, it'd be nice to hear that.
The mechanic would be good to talk to. And also, we do have a member of the list that does a small engine repair that I need to call here about being a guest here at some point.
I talked to him one time about being a guest, and it was the time was inconvenient for him. And I had somebody else lined up, but call him and I'll do an interview. And then we have one of John Connolly's favorite people, a good friend of John Connolly's. You know John Connolly from Dallas? Well, John has a good friend in Nacogdoches named Lamar King. They're good buds. You didn't know that?
Do us an imitation of Lamar.
Yeah, boy, off your wheel. Lamar's a good boy. But anyway, Lamar and John, Lamar was trained as a transmission. He was always going to bring one over and show us how they work.
Yeah.
It never happened.
It never happened.
I think he's moved to Mississippi.
Well, I thought he got to the point where he didn't have to work on them. I mean, he could just lay his hands on it.
And heal them.
Healing those transmissions.
Oh, now we're back into Jimmy. I didn't know. Just healing those. I hadn't thought about that. That's good. He's moved off to Mississippi. Somebody as friendly is going to tell him about this, and lightning will strike you.
He's probably listening. Maybe.
Send us
an email, Lamar.
If you're listening. Go ahead, Tommy.
Here's one from Alan Herzog. He says, hi, regarding cleaning a light bulb socket. With the voltage disconnected, remove the bulb. Sometimes the glass will separate if the connection is frozen tightly enough. I recommend you put a towel or something like it over the bulb in case of burst.
Yeah.
With the bulb out, you can use alcohol or circuit cleaner to loosen the carbon from the connections. Scrape it free with a metal nail file. Then blow the site clean and dry. You're all set. Note, any cleaners you use must be zero residue.
Yeah.
And that, we said, Alan Herzog sent us that.
Circuit cleaner.
I've got plenty of that. The problem with these is they're over my head. They're in a fixture that's way up high. I guess I need to just get up there, get a little ladder and get up there to them and do this because... Why is it my responsibility to provide light for sighted people? I mean, how did that become my... I can't see.
That's what you get for being the creator.
I guess it is.
That's the whole deal.
I guess it is. And it's my job to fix the lights. And, are they on, baby? I don't know how it got me. The phones are also my problem. You'd think I was Alexander Graham Phil.
Gutter cleaning out.
If the phone doesn't work, Phil, the phone's not working in the den. How the hell did that become my problem?
Okay, here's one. The subject matter is blind kids can be handy, too.
Yep.
Says, my wife Holly and I are totally blind. Our 14-year-old son Michael is fully sighted. But Tracy, our 13-year-old daughter, is mostly blind, but after cornea transplants, can see some light and color and shadow. She wanted to keep right up with her brother when he was learning to use a screwdriver and such. One day, out of the blue, she asked me for a hammer and some nails to hang pictures in her room, and I said, sure. Then I thought about it and asked, do you know how to pound nails? Sure, Dad, I think so, or I can figure it out. After telling her not to use nails or screws near electrical fixtures, she went to work.
Frankie.
There were a few odds and oohs and ahs as the hammer did not hit square, but soon the pictures were up. A few months later, I got a staple gun and hadn't used it for more than a few minutes when Tracy wanted to try hanging posters in her room. So after showing her where the staples come out and that your fingers don't want to be there, she went off with my new tool.
Yep.
And before long, the posters were up. She did ask me for a screwdriver to remove a couple of offside players since she was 6 years old.
Yep.
She loved to climb the ladder and help me clean the leaves from the gutters and to help attach Christmas lights to the house front. I always try to stress safety first and have us both check the footing of the ladder right before climbing.
Uh-huh.
I just hope she waits a while before asking to use my soldering gun. I really enjoy the show, guys, and have learned a lot, especially about plumbing. Let's all keep the ideas flowing. Sincerely, this is from Jim Turry. Jim Turry.
No, actually, it's Terry.
T-U-R-R-I.
And he's our guest.
Our guest today, in fact.
This is the guy that's going to be our guest.
Hey,
our guest.
Jim.
And also, we have a little something from his daughter, 13-year-old daughter, Tracy, is on the tape with him. So why don't we take a break and go to Jim Terry, and we'll be back with more of the exciting Frankie Brown's The Blind Handyman Show. That's my dog, Frankie, who I'm fixing to go... I don't know what I'm going to do. You can't,
shoot her.
Tell her to, well, you
or can. Can you?
No, not with Luann coming home at 5. Back in just a minute with more of the exciting Blind Handyman Show.
They're not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
This is Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves. Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
Latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com.
Listening to The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
My daughter Tracy wants to say hi.
Okay, well, let her do that.
Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
Hi,
Tracy. How are you?
Good.
How old are you?
12, almost 13.
12, almost 13, and you're in the 6th grade, is that right?
I'm in the 7th grade.
7th grade. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I thought 12-year-olds were in the 6th grade. Well, your daddy's going to be on the radio. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Uh-huh.
I think it is. You want to be on the radio?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just put you on too, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Tracy's blind also.
Well, oh, really? Well, we'll just let that part of the interview play. We're not proud. You know, will you have her listen if we do?
I don't think she's heard it yet, but...
Maybe you can, next week, you can let her listen, and we'll just put her, let her little part of the interview be on the radio.
Yeah,
what the heck?
I've got all the archive shows, so...
Have you now? You mean on tape?
Yeah. On the hard disk.
You've got them on your hard disk on your computer.
On hard disk. In fact, the weekend of the Super Bowl, I kind of had a handyman marathon.
And you listened to all of them, huh?
I listened to quite a few of them because I said, if I'm going to participate in this, I want to see what they've already talked about.
Well, let me say that we're back, and we're the Blind Handyman. I'm Phil Parton. We're talking with Jim Terry. And what part of the country are you in, sir?
I'm from College Park, Maryland, which is about 5 miles north of Washington, D.C. So I'm near the University of Maryland.
Now, that is a metro area, so you're lots of people.
Metro area, just in about a half a mile inside the famous Washington Beltway.
Oh, man. So there it is, metro, isn't it?
Yeah, and I worked down at the University of Maryland as a maintenance dispatcher.
That was my next question, a maintenance dispatcher. Now, explain to me what you do.
So I guess the short version is they say I can tell people where to go, but I like to say I can tell people where they're needed.
Yeah. Tell people where to go or where they're needed.
Yeah.
So if they need a maintenance, someone to do maintenance somewhere, you can dispatch this person to that area.
Yeah, I can. The campus is like 4.5 square miles, and they've got about 800 employees, including, you know, the cleaners and all that sort of thing. So it's a pretty big operation, so it can support maybe 3 or 4 dispatchers during the day.
Really?
There's always action going on.
And you do this by walkie, some form of walkie-talkie, or what?
I do it in front of a Motorola two-way radio, and they've got a couple of different kinds of those, and, of course, a telephone, and a Windows XP computer. They decided I should be the first one to try XP.
Yeah.
Because I'm not afraid to try new things.
Yeah.
So that worked out pretty well. And so I use JAWS at work, and I use Window Eyes at home.
Oh, yeah. So you're familiar with both readers, screen readers.
So probably not as familiar as I'd like to be, but I know enough to get what I need done.
Well, I haven't gone to XP yet, but I hear it works well with JAWS now.
my daughter's computer had a problem a while back where, you know how they get where they won't boot up?
Oh, yeah.
And I was a little leery, and I was able to use that XP backup feature to go back and find it where it had marked where there'd been a power surge or something before, and it made a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to pull up that backup, and it took right off again. And I was so happy that I didn't have to try to reinstall the Windows.
So you went back to a restore point.
The restore point, yes.
I'll be darned. Well, that's a wonderful feature that I think they started in ME, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So I was certainly real happy about it.
Right. What age are you, sir?
I'm 50 years old.
50 years old, and obviously married. You have a child.
I'm totally blind, and my wife is also totally blind.
Uh-huh.
And we were married about 4 years before we decided to have children. It wasn't a decision we made lightly.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of lived it up before the children came. You know?
Sure, yeah.
We went to California. One of the neat things we did one time, we took a vacation to California, is visit the Smith Kettlewell Institute, where Bill Jerry is. He's the electronic whiz that put out the magazine that replaced the Braille Technical Press. That's a whole other story in itself. We had a lot of stories with that, and that's where I got a lot more information on soldering.
Now, I'm not familiar with the Braille Technical Press. You say that is not printed anymore?
No, that was the fellow that printed that's name was Bob Gunderson, and I believe he went to New York School or New York Institute or one of those places.
He was,
but I mean that was popular back in the 60s.
Okay.
And then I guess that kind of faded away. I used to read it as a young teenager, even though a lot of it was too over my head.
Uh-huh.
And then in the 70s, this fellow named Bill Jerry out in California works for the Smith Kettlewell Eye Institute, and he made a magazine that was available on tape or in Braille, and I believe it's on computer now, and I haven't been to the website recently, but they did have a website describing what's on the issues and so forth. And had a lot of interesting reading from that magazine.
Now, is this magazine still published?
I think it is, but very sporadically. You know, like the rest of us, he's gotten a bit older, and he's covered a lot of things that, you know, you just can't keep redoing. But he had a lot of articles on how to solder. Now, his method of soldering was a little bit different than mine.
All right, let's get into soldering. That was my next thing. Can you actually solder as a blind person?
Yes, you can. Now,
all right, well, tell us all you know about it in 15 minutes.
Yeah, now, it depends on how... You can't always solder the small stuff. You know, I mean, things are just getting so tiny that soldering on a circuit board can be somewhat challenging. It can be done if you're real careful. And they have these little tiny soldering irons you can get at Radio Shack or other places that have a small point on them. And Bill Jerry believes in soldering with a hot iron. I don't like that approach. And I started out using a Weller soldering gun. And I guess you can still get them at Sears. They're a little harder to find than they used to be. But a soldering gun is more like an electric drill size device. You know, it's a gun, and it's got a long tip, maybe a few inches out. And you can, so the way I like to do it is to put everything in place. I usually use a small vise or some kind of a clip or anything to hold the work still. That's the first thing. And
yeah,
you should have a nice table or workbench or some such thing that you can sit at and or lay or, you know, whatever position your work is in. But something you can sort of prop your elbow on. That was one of the hints in one of the early articles. They said no matter how good you are, no matter how steady your hand is, if your elbow or your wrist is not propped, you're going to have movement.
Okay.
And when you've got that 400-degree heat or whatever it is, you don't want to move in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So once everything's propped and kind of in place, then I like to pull the trigger on the soldering gun and heat it up. And I usually hold the gun in my right hand and have it barely touching the area that I want to solder. And you use rosin core solder for electronic soldering.
Mm-hmm.
Soldering, you use acid core solder. You don't want to mix the two up, because if you use acid core solder on electronics, it'll corrode very quickly.
But you want to use rosin core solder.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you want to get fairly thin solder. And they sell solder in a lot of different gauges, you know, just like wire.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it fairly thick if you got something really big to solder, but I prefer a sort of a medium gauge. So once the heat is applied, after maybe 2 or 3 seconds, then the solder will start to melt. And your hand that's holding the solder, you might just put a very slight pressure, say, toward the right on it, and it'll move very slowly. You say, oh, well, that solder is melting, and then you can sort of smell the rosin.
Yeah, you can.
And once you think you've melted enough, then take everything away and let the connection cool off. Sometimes you can have a little sponge there or a little bowl of water, put your finger in the bowl of water, and then touch the connection. That's
uh-huh.
Cool a little faster if you're impatient to see what you did. And if you're not happy with, you know, maybe sometimes the solder might come off a little unevenly. Sometimes they call it a cold solder joint if it didn't melt just quite right. And so you might have to heat it again and take a couple of passes at it before you get it the way you want. But so soldering is kind of like an art, too. But it's a lot of fun, and I used to make a lot of... I love to play music as well, and I used to make the guitar chords, you know, make my own homemade guitar chords, because back then it was harder to mail order. You know,
mm-hmm.
You didn't have the computer, and couldn't always go down to Lafayette. So I made my own chords, and I used to like to solder the coax connectors on the end of the ham radio.
You're talking about coax connectors where you solder the middle, the center wire, and then the braid.
Yeah.
How did you solder that center wire? Because it goes down in a little hole.
Well, you strip the wire to the appropriate...
Strip the coax as far back as you want it.
The coax to the appropriate length.
Okay.
And peel the shield back. And that takes some practice, as you know.
Yes.
Once you get the shield peeled back, and then that, there's another insulated wire on that. So you pull that insulation.
And that's the one you want, is that center wire to begin with.
And sometimes, depending on the connector you have and so forth, sometimes it's to tin that wire first. And tinning it means you just put a little thin layer of solder on that wire so that when you, if it'll still fit down the hole, then when you melt the solder, it makes a better bond to the whole surface rather than just the very end.
Now, you've got the wire down in the hole in the coax connector.
Yeah.
And do you heat the end of the coax connector or heat, what do you heat there?
Put the coax connect, I used to put it in a vise. Coax connector in a tiny little vise.
I got you.
And so that it would hold still upside down so that that center part is sticking up.
So the center part is sticking, so that the center part is sticking up and the wire goes down in it.
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you.
And then you're able to get your soldering gun tip onto that little centerpiece on one side, and you're able to get your solder on the other side right at the top, and then apply the heat. And, of course, it's in a vise, so that the heat is dissipated into the vise and not into the wood or your hand. Or
And that solder will flow down into this little place where your wire went?
Yes. Now, if you get really good, you might be able to solder a microphone connector that way, but... I usually left that job to a sighted person because sometimes I could do it, and sometimes I'd end up really talking to it.
You're a better man than I. I have never, I've been fooling with, I've had people say, what were you doing when John Kennedy died? I know what I was doing. I was dubbing music from one tape recorder to the other. Before we had multi-track machines. I've been fighting and playing with this stuff since I was 14 years old, and I've never successfully soldered a connection. And I'm 62.
Well, you know, it's never too late.
I guess not. I guess I'm going to have to do it.
And once I get lined up on the new website, the new email list you've got going there, I'll see if I can get some links going or maybe either write some articles and dredge some of them up because... It just takes patience.
Well, we would like that. I think that's my problem. And using a soldering, now I've got both kinds. I've got an old soldering gun, and then I've got the little bitty one that you have to lay in a little cradle and let it heat for a long time.
Yeah, I've got... Now, one thing that really... I wish somebody had told me this. Like, I've fooled around with soldering for 2 years, and I used to solder toggle switches and things like that. And a lot of times the gun would heat up, and it didn't seem like it was heating it up enough. And I was getting a lot of cold solder joints. And then one day somebody told me, he said, well, you know, you've got to loosen the nuts that hold that tip into the gun every so often, every few days maybe, depending how much you use it, because a layer of corrosion builds up in there, and it's a very low voltage and a high current connection. The voltage is very low. And... if that layer of corrosion's in there, it just doesn't heat properly. And once I did that, man, my solder connections improved a big time.
I think I'll try a toggle switch first because those connectors are pretty far apart.
Like a toggle switch is a good thing. And I practiced on a lot of stuff like that. And as you can imagine, my first few attempts weren't all that great, but they got better as I practiced at it, just like with a musical instrument.
Well, I think a toggle switch because the connections are kind of far apart.
Yeah.
And you could actually put the wire, a lot of those toggle switches have a little hole in the connection that you can put the wire down through.
Yeah, you can put it down through. And, in fact, what I like to do is wrap the bare wire around once, or at least half a time, or maybe a whole time, and then squeeze it tight with needle nose pliers.
And then put some solder around it?
And then put the solder around all that, and it can flow in the little holes. Spaces that are left, and that makes a good tight connection. It's probably not going to come off.
All right. Well, I'm gonna give this another. It's been a long time since I've tried it. I've got my friend Tom Houston here who runs the board for me. He solders some. I get him occasionally to solder. But I've used. Are you familiar with Scotch locks?
I've heard you mention that, but I must have missed it. What show was that on?
I don't remember, but let me tell you about Scotch locks are a neat little thing. They will hold, they're three different sizes, and each one holds three different wires, but usually you're doing two wires. So you put the two wires in this Scotch lock, then you take a pair of pliers and squeeze it, and bingo, it pierces the wire and locks the two wires together.
It's sort of a crimping...
Yeah, it's kind of a crimping thing. They're used a lot by telephone people. That's how I got onto them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I use wire nuts sometimes. I'm sure you've used those.
Yeah.
And then they make another little long device that you put a wire in each end and clamp down on it, and it pierces the wire. So I've avoided soldering, but I guess if you can do it, by God, I can do it.
Well, there's I'd like to learn more about this stuff, but there's sometimes when there's no substitute for soldering a wire. Even just soldering two wires together or pinning the wires when you've got, like, real thin speaker wire and it just doesn't fit in your terminal very well. Sometimes pinning that wire will thicken it up and heavy it up a little bit at that end, and it's been great. But I'll tell you, as we get older and we get full with the computers more, it's been probably several years since I've had my soldering gun out, but I think I'm going to be getting it out shortly.
Mine is calling me. What musical instruments do you play?
Oh, I love to play the guitar. I fool with the keyboard, but I've played the guitar off and on for probably 30 or 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I play at church now and things like that, and I used to play in a band years ago. But so that's a lot of fun, so... Maybe we'll have to correspond with you about that, too.
Did you, I don't remember your exact email, did you mention that you had done some woodwork things, too?
I've done a little bit of woodwork, but I'll tell you, you guys going to the blind school, see, I was mainstreamed in public school my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And that had its good side, but one of the bad sides was I had to fight like cats and dogs just to even get to take one shop class. And, so you probably had a lot more experience with woodworking and so
forth. They had a full woodwork shop at the Texas School for the Blind, but they didn't let us touch anything.
Oh.
And this was back in the 40s and 50s. Now, I have a woodwork shop of my own that I have as much stuff as they did. So, and I'm not, people ask me, I play a little guitar myself, and they ask me, don't you ever worry about cutting a finger off? Well, of course I worry about that kind of thing, and I'm very, very careful. I think blind people would tend to be more careful.
Yeah, someday I hope to have a shop. Right now, in the Washington area, houses are just so small, and you don't usually have a garage.
Uh-huh.
And so the space for my workshop is like one sewing table.
That's it, huh?
And that's it. Yeah. And that was going to be the electronic shop and the wood shop. So my son has a lot of stuff scattered around there right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, how old is he?
He is 14.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is...
Now, does he have sight, your son?
13. My son has sight.
Perfect sight?
Yeah, he's got perfect sight.
So he'll be driving the car for Dad in a couple years, won't he? What a guy.
Yeah, well, we've told him, there's no rush about a car. Your education is more important,
Yeah.
Of course, he doesn't want to hear that, but...
Yeah.
My wife, Holly, is blind also.
Now, does she work? Does she work?
She works for the Weather Service doing something that would drive me crazy. She does inventory accounting.
Uh-huh.
And... So as you can imagine, she makes more money than I do dispatching.
Uh-huh.
But
I love them working wives. I've gotten fond of them.
So we work and we homeschool our children.
Is that right?
Schools are great around here, but we decided that homeschooling would be the way to go for the junior high year.
Well, it sounds like just from talking to you a few minutes we've talked that you would be good at that. I would think you'd be able to teach the children what they need to know.
What they're able to learn. I'd always thought I would like to be a teacher. And people used to say, you ought to be a rehab counselor. And I said, well, I don't want to do that. Just tell other people to go be a rehab counselor. That's got to end somewhere.
Yeah. You know? Well, we're about out of time. You've been a very good guest, and I want to plan on 6 weeks, 2 months from now, having you back on and talk a little more about what you've done and where you've been. You sound like you have yourself well adjusted and have learned to cope with this thing we call blindness pretty well.
Yeah, because I would like to talk about the furnaces sometime. I learned how to fix my own furnace. And that's been a real lifesaver.
We had some questions. Well, yeah, because you can't call everybody. You can't call somebody. It's cost prohibitive, isn't it?
If you call somebody, it's very costly.
Yeah.
Of course, we were spending $400 to $600 a month on babysitting when the kids were younger.
Yeah.
We both work, and the attitude is, you know, I finally figured out a way to fix the furnace because it was hard to break through those attitudes of people to even talk you through it.
Yeah. But you've got it down now.
Yeah, I got it down.
Hey, we'll give it a few weeks and we'll talk about furnaces. Jim Terry, thanks for talking with us on the Blind Handyman Show.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, sir, we'll visit with you later.
Okay.
Back with more of the Blind Handyman in just a minute.
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove. You can hear
live, unpredictable internet radio
on the ACB Radio Interactive. ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least six time zones on three continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening, adult contemporary,
and more.
Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
Listening to the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you have an idea for a topic or a project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Okay.
All
right, we're back, huh?
We are.
Periodically on the shows, I've found a little tool that kind of interests me and discussed it with you and maybe where to get it. We're not necessarily recommending any brand, but this is, even though it's Craftsman, which is made by Sears, I'm sure there's others on the market. I just happened to run across this one. Yeah, got the idea to look for this when I think on Don's new list serve over there that we had a comment on about how to cut circles, how to cut out round holes, I guess, other than drilling. And this little tool is called the Craftsman All-Purpose Cutting Tool, and it'll cut, I think, a circle from 1 inch to, or I'm not sure if it's 1 inch, it might be 4 inch, from 4 inches to 12 inches.
Yeah.
Might even
Whoa.
Be smaller. And I guarantee you, it is blind friendly. From the little video I watched on it, they have it. Anyone can go to Sears website if you want to, look up the tool, and it has a little video, and watch the little video. Or have somebody watch it for you, because it's anyway. It is similar to describe it. The thing weighs about 9 pounds, and I know if you're any kind of handyman at all, or most of you are, it's about the size of a large size one of the little moto tools.
Yeah.
I have one that I bought that it does not do all of the things that this one will do, and it costs a lot more. This tool that I'm talking about costs $59. And it's really, just as the name implies, it says it's the Craftsman All-Purpose Cutting Tool. And it includes four separate base attachments. It's like a spin saw for cutting the circles. It's a router. It's like a plunge router. And it can be used as an engraving tool. You can, with a little arm attachment, I think you could trace something with one part of it and cut or etch with the other. And it takes the place of jigsaws and or just a router thing. It has handles on it like a router.
Really?
And, two handles. And it also has a work light, a real bright little work light that you could point at whatever you were doing. The thing that struck my fancy is because the comment about cutting circles, somebody wanting to know how to do, was actually that when you find your center point in their little movie demonstration, the person was holding the tool like if it was a long screwdriver, like the Moto tool,
yeah,
in a horizontal or vertical, I guess it would be the thing, a vertical position. And so he had found his center point from which he wanted to cut out his circle. In the video, it looks like they might be cutting a hole for a light fixture. And this little arm attachment that fits on your the cutting tool would be horizontal, but it also rotates 360 degrees. And at the end of this little arm is where the cutting implement is. And this person in the video had his hand right on top of this thing, guiding it around the circle.
Really?
He cut out a perfect circle, and obviously with no injury. So I would say this tool may be fairly blind-friendly in
Boy,
that regard.
It sounds
does,
like
does
it.
He, does he anchor the other end of the thing to the middle of his circle?
Yeah, in other words, he has a center point that he's picked that he doesn't anchor it. He, I guess, holds it. It probably has a pin head or something on it, and you would put it in there like you were going to begin to drill a hole, except your cutting tool is on this little arm extension.
Which is 8 or 10 inches
out length, and you just twirl it in a circle, and it cuts. Now, you get the two bits with it, and these Moto tools, they call everything a bit. It can be a drill bit or a saw bit. I have, like I say, can't think of the brand. That's the most popular one, and I paid a lot more than $59 for mine.
Yeah.
It's called a Dremel tool.
A Dremel tool.
Dremel
yeah,
tool.
A Dremel. I could not think of the name.
Dremel.
And anyway, like I say, 9 pounds seemed a little bigger.
Hefty.
A little hefty.
Yeah.
Mine doesn't weigh that, but this thing, like I say, takes the place of a router and jigsaw, and it also, really? The neatest feature on it, you could use it like for installing wall plugs and sheetrock or paneling or something, and it has a depth gauge where you can set the blade. Like if you only want to cut a quarter inch deep, if you're afraid you're going to get into some water pipes or something inside the wall,
that could be handy.
You can set the depth on the cut.
And I suppose if you were cutting a sheet of plywood, you wouldn't want to set it for an inch. You'd want to do it a quarter an inch at a time. If you were going to cut a circle out of a piece of plywood, and you could just do it a quarter of an inch at a time, and bingo.
Right.
Eventually,
you could, and it looks like, you know, if you were doing such a project in where, you know, there's two ways to cut a circle or two purposes, to make a round hole or that you want the circular part for some reason to keep.
Uh-huh.
And this would give you that. In other words, there's certain kind of drill bits. I think you have some. Fill that cut out around a little.
Yeah,
round.
It'll do a round hole, and it'll do about a 3-inch round hole, the biggest one of them. But
cutting out a dead vault.
Kind of like a circular bandsaw blade or a jigsaw.
Now, what is this thing called, Donald?
It is just called the Craftsman All-in-One Cutter.
Craftsman All-in-One Cutter.
$59 bucks at your local store.
Well, we'll talk more about one next week because I'm fixing to go buy one. I got to see one.
Yeah,
okay. It's a handy. I mean, I guarantee you, I just sold. You know, y'all been following me on my little house comings and goings, and I sold all of my tools.
Yeah.
But I had router, I had jigsaw, I had this and that, and I promise you, this little tool would have took the place of about four of mine.
No kidding.
And
boy, for cutting through wood or sheetrock, and I bet, I bet it cuts through.
And then a little drill. I think you can actually use it as a drill.
Without it being on its arm.
Well, or a grinder is the main thing. Like etching. If you just wanted to carve something, a design, and you had something to trace. I haven't, except for their little video, and they really stressed the cutting the round hole. I didn't see. You know, I haven't ever seen the tool in person, but it just looked kind of neat.
Yeah.
Well, there's this guy on the list, and I've read everything that's been on the list so far up until Monday, and when I had 96 messages in my email thing.
Yeah.
And there's this one guy that seemed to be very knowledgeable about cutting circles, and he alleged, and we assume he's telling the truth, that with his bandsaw, now I don't know what size bandsaw, I just have a little table model bandsaw. I know they make a floor model because I saw one time. But with his bandsaw, he says he can cut a 6-foot circle. out of a piece of plywood. Now, see, I would be real interested as to where you enter the piece of, I mean, how you get in to the piece of, because the plywood is a big, long, lumbering giant,
it's
you know.
It's 4 feet wide, so I don't know how, he'll tell us, I bet.
Well, I think he said it, I think he said that. I'll have to go back. Sure, I know.
Could
go
cut
back.
Up to a 6 foot
up to
diameter.
A 6 foot arc.
Wow.
I believe that's, I think that's what he said. Unless I misread the message, I could have been, I'll go back and look. Actually, I won't. We want him to be on the show.
Yeah, that's what I was just fixing to say.
And tell us how to do that.
I think I may be getting that lined up. So
with his bandsaw, I've got a little bandsaw, and you can. And I went in there and tried. The first thing I did the day I bought my bandsaw was cut a little, just to see. Well, I cut a couple things, and then I thought I'm going to cut a map of Texas and see if anybody can tell what it is. So I took this block of wood and I cut a little small map of the shape of the state of Texas. And some sighted people had trouble with it, but I handed it to John Connolly, and he immediately said, "That's a map of Texas."
Uh huh. Yeah.
So he knew, it was a blind friendly map of Texas.
Uh-huh.
And, so you can turn things into bandsaw. I mean, you can cut.
So bandsaw is blind friendly.
Yeah, it's blind friendly. There are some adjustments you have to make the blade steady. Because you don't want the blade to move when you turn, or you don't want it to move at all. And with this bandsaw I have, it's a little table model made by, I'll never forget, Protec. Made by Protec, I think. And they're on the website at Protec.com, I think. Anyway, if you want one, go to Lowe's and buy one. And you can move the board around and cut an arc or a circle with the bandsaw. But the problem with me is, where do you start? I mean, you know. You start on the left-hand edge of the board and go around. I mean, you have to make a decision because eventually you'll come out of your board. You know,
sure.
That's true.
I don't know.
But I went out and tried it just to make sure that it could still be done, and it can. A bandsaw, you have to make the blade steady, and it has some adjustments underneath the table of the bandsaw, that you have a little roller that you put the blade on and two little things that the blade kind of runs against to keep the blade from moving. Then it has a thing above it that you
tighten the blade.
Yeah, you tighten the blade, yeah. But you decide how high you want, how thick your board is, and you bring this thing down on your board.
Okay.
So that there is very little distance between this thing above you, and it's just a little gear-driven thing that you just wind down and tighten up on your board. And, of course, you leave room for your finger, but you can touch that saw blade as it's moving. You touch the back of it, of course.
That's a plus.
But you can touch that bandsaw blade as it's moving lightly with your finger, and it will not hurt you. Now, some guy's going to cut off his finger, me saying that, but it can, you know, it can.
You can tell where you were at that way.
You can tell where you are. Yes, you can. And it's so bandsaws, I recommend them. What are we doing?
Well, that's pretty neat. The only thing I've heard about a bandsaw is that they're kind of critical, and I don't know if you've ever run into this, but kind of critical on not to have the blade either too tight or too loose, kind of talking about adjusting the blade. That
I just tighten mine up pretty tight, you know.
You could break the blade if you get it too tight, or if it's too loose, it'll move around. So.
This guy, Penny's, my sister-in-law's father, came in and with that scroll saw that I've got, cut out some crosses. I mean, some like you would church type crosses.
Yeah.
And just took a piece of wood and.
We talked about scroll saws on the list, in fact, this week. But some folks had said there that they didn't think the scroll saw was really all that blind friendly. Touchy as far as it. Boy, if you moved the wood, it sounded like just any. Like, and you know, you could easily get off your path.
They don't have a fence. I mean, they're freehand.
Yeah,
there's no fence.
Believe it or not, back in the 50s at TSB, that we had one.
Scroll saw.
Yeah, and it came with several, like, I think they were made like out of metal or brass design plates that you could, and you trace with the one, say, on the left, and then the one on the right, there's two arms like this doing the cutting or the engraving. And you just trace these. It was really like having a template is what the word I'm using. And then you could, by tracing the template, you made your design in the wood, certain designs.
A scroll saw would be a little less. I didn't unplug the phone, did it? Anyway, scroll saw would be a little less unfriendly in that you can't feel you can't feel the blade because there's a thing that comes down over the blade.
Yeah,
that'd be the rub about that.
That drops down and it's. I guess you.
It'd
could,
be hard to find your place if you were trying to check your work.
Yeah, it would. It would. Yeah.
I've never touched the scroll saw blade. Now it is a. The bandsaw blade, if those of you who are not familiar with the bandsaw, has a drum at the top and a drum at the bottom. And at the bottom, there's a motor that turns, and it turns this drum, which turns the blade.
Sort of like a belt.
Yeah, it's like a belt saw, bandsaw. That's why it's called a bandsaw, because the thing is a saw band.
From the side, right?
You do it from the side.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. A scroll saw is an up and down thing like a gigantic razor with a saw blade in it. You know, it's a vibrating type thing. It just moves that blade up and down a 16th of an inch,
like
just
a giant
enough.
Jigsaw. Huh?
Yeah, like a giant jigsaw, and cuts. But the blade is fixed at the top and the bottom, and I guess the motor moves it. It's tight, and the motor just moves that blade up and down rather than a bandsaw type.
Man, how easy would it be to break one of those little blades?
They're pretty easy. I've got a package of them, but they're cheap. In fact, this guy that was cutting the crosses broke a blade while he was here. But you get that blade pretty tight until
you hear it
ping,
snap, boy.
It's like a guitar string when you pluck it.
You can hear
that little scroll saw blade. But it works out. I haven't done much with it. But he tried the bandsaw, and he said, now let me try this scroll saw. And he used that, and it worked out fine.
It's probably just kind of what you get used to, like everything else, though.
Need the guy on that cuts the 6-foot circles or whatever size. Maybe I read him wrong. Cuts whatever size circles with his bandsaw to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after the show, I think.
Guest manager, maybe you can have him for next week?
We're going to certainly give that a try.
All right, the all-purpose cutting tool from Sears.
Yeah.
$59.95.
The tool of the week.
I got the money in my pocket.
It sounds like a real deal now.
Yeah, it does. Well, we've stumbled through another one, guys, and I still didn't demonstrate my talking beer openers.
Yeah.
That's right. Do we still have...
There's always
do we have
another
a
show.
They're in the other room. We should call them bottle openers for those of you who, you know, are just kind of prudish. My talking bottle opener.
Bottle.
All right, Jimmy. Anyway, if you want to join the list, the address is, what is it?
blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That'll
right.
put you on the list.
It
to email us, and God knows we need email.
And send an email to blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Yeah, if you're a new listener from the list, if you picked us up, I mean, heard about us on the list, we'd just be interested in knowing about that.
Yeah, and if you haven't heard any show, if you're new on the list, haven't heard a show yet, well, you wouldn't be hearing this to know this, but you go to acbradio.org or use the ACB radio tuner. Go to mainstream and
archives section,
our archives page, and listen there. Or on
can you go
night.
There from the list?
You certainly can. We have a link on the end of every email. In fact, on the group list to the archive page.
It will take you to the archive page. So
yeah,
we got you anyway. Pretty soon, as I said before, we'll be coming to your homes and visiting you in person.
We'll have those big expense accounts then, won't we?
Yeah.
Next to the last day for this console.
It's the end of the line. Retirement time.
Pretty exciting. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Don Patterson, Don Shell.
Enjoyed it.
Tom
Houston.
Have a good
one.
Thank you, sir. I'm Phil Parr, reminding you, I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Yeah. The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.